Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey as a daughter, mother, wife, widow, and missionary. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
Well, I was called, I believed, to linguistics rather than to medicine. Then the great question was, where do I go? I was scared to death. I was going to choose the wrong kind of work, the wrong mission field, the wrong tribe. I grew up a worrier. I came from two long lines of champions on both sides. And I saw a great development in both my parents in their learning not to worry and to buy everything with prayer and supplication to make their requests known to God. And as the Bible promises, the peace of God will then, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds. But I did a lot of worrying, and I'm sure that there are some young people here today who are worrying about the will of God. How will I find it? What if I make a mistake? What if I mess up my whole life? Isn't it reasonable to believe that the shepherd is much more interested in getting the sheep where the sheep ought to be than the sheep are in getting there? The Lord is your shepherd. He leadeth you in paths of righteousness, not for your name's sake, for his name's sake. He's much more interested in leading you in those paths of righteousness than you are in going. So trust him and do what he says. So I found myself ultimately, after all the worries and all the prayers and all the confusions that went on for about 5 years, I graduated from college in 1948, so you can figure out how old I am. Yes, I'm 67. And it was 5 years before God narrowed down the place where I was to go, and I did various things. I worked in a women's store, and if my living had depended on commissions, why, I would have been destitute, because everybody else beat me to the punch when it came to the customers. And I was just the world's worst salesperson. Then I tried tutoring. I tutored a couple of missionary kids who had come back from Africa and needed some help before they went into a public school. And I did grating tomatoes in a soup factory and various things, all the time saying, Lord, show me when the time comes, where I'm supposed to go, etc. So I ended up in Ecuador in 1953. After I got to Ecuador, I knew that there were 9 tribes. I still didn't know which one I was supposed to go to. But I had to learn Spanish first, so I spent 6 months in the city of Quito living with a Spanish-speaking family. And during that time, there were 2 English women missionaries who lived in the western jungle, and they had been working with a very small tribe called the Colorados. You Spanish speakers know that that word simply means red, and it was an appropriate name for these Indians because they painted themselves bright red from head to toe, literally orange red. Some of you gray heads are old enough to remember the times when we had to buy margarine in a white block, and then you had to mix it with this little packet of either red paste or red powder. It was a terrible nuisance. When I went to boarding school, we had to mix that stuff with our hands, and we always vied for that job because you could get your fingernails so nice and clean when you did that. Anyway, these Indians were very wealthy because they exported that dye to the United States. But these 2 English women had been struggling with the unwritten language of the Colorados. They didn't really learn the language, and they bumbled along as best they could in Spanish, but the Indians didn't speak much Spanish, only enough to get along in their trading with the white man. So they learned that there was an American who had studied linguistics, and they came and invited me to come and live with them. So I did that. I went down there and worked with them. And during that year, there were 3 major blows to my faith. 3 things which were certainly not on my expected agenda. I was going to do a linguistic job. I was going to be the apostle to the Colorados. And maybe someday my name would be on a missionary biography. You know, Elizabeth Howard, that's what my what I was then, apostle to the Colorados. And I confess I had such visions. And I set to work with great joy and sense of rightness and fulfillment. God had given me the job. He had sent me to Ecuador. He had directed me to the right tribe. And these two English women were absolutely thrilled to have me there. And the first thing that I needed was an informant, somebody who would sit there patiently, endlessly, and repeat and repeat and repeat this language, which for him was absolutely no problem at all. For me, was almost impossible. And to my amazement, God led me to a man who was a Christian, eager to serve the Lord, a man who spoke both Spanish and Colorado, which was unheard of. We knew that no white man had ever learned the language, at least we thought none ever had, and we knew that no Indian among that tribe had ever learned Spanish very fluently. And furthermore, the Indians were not going to work for anybody. They were so wealthy because of this dye. They had white men working for them, and they certainly were not going to work for a white woman. So it was amazing to find this Christian man. He happened to be a white man, a white Ecuadorian, but he had grown up on an hacienda with these Indians, and so he was completely bilingual. So we thanked God. We began to work together at my price, at my time, and our progress was phenomenal for a few weeks. And then one morning I was in my room reading my Bible in 1 Peter 4, where it says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened. It happens to give you a share in Christ's sufferings." And I heard gunshots. This was not unusual. We lived in a little clearing in the jungle where there were white people who went out and hunted with guns, and the Indians who lived out in the jungle surrounding us also hunted with guns that they had bought from the white man with the money that they had made from the export of that dye. But these particular gunshots were followed by people screaming and horses galloping and general pandemonium. So I rushed out and discovered that my informant, whose name was Macario, had just been murdered. There was nobody else, literally nobody else in the world that spoke those two languages as fluently as Macario. So that was a test of my trust in God's guidance. Had he guided me there? Had he given me this gift of linguistics? Was I perhaps supposed to be a medical missionary in Africa instead of a linguistic missionary in Ecuador? All these things were just up for grabs, and I was in a state of just total confusion and perplexity, and tempted, of course, to be, let's say, at least put out with God. I don't really think I've ever been angry at God. I really can't imagine that, but I certainly was baffled. Before the year was out, I had succeeded in reducing the language to writing with much greater difficulty and much more slowly and probably much less correctly than if I had had Macario. But at the end of that year, I moved to the eastern jungle because a young man whom I had known in college named Jim Elliott had asked me to marry him. He was working way over on the other side of the Andes with another tribe called Quechuas, and he was also doing linguistic work. So he said he would not marry me until I learned Quechua. So having had to learn Spanish first and then Colorado, I now had to start over at the bottom rung of the ladder and learn Quechua. But was it too high a price to pay to get Jim Elliott? Well, I didn't think so. I said yes without any hesitation and moved to the eastern jungle, whereupon I got a letter from one of my English colleagues from the western jungle telling me that all of my language materials had been stolen. Blow number two. Why would God allow this to happen? I thought I was supposed to be a missionary doing God's work, And God had promised me that he would help me, and one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This was a strange way, it seemed to me, for God to be fulfilling that promise that he would help me. All the language materials stolen. All of them were in one suitcase. We knew that God knew that that pile of 3x5s and notebooks and charts would not do anybody else in the world any good at all. So we prayed that God would get that suitcase back. We never got it back. So it was as if God had taken his arm and swept everything that I had done clean from the boards. And very shortly thereafter, I had a letter from my fiancé, not a letter, but a radio message, shortwave radio. I was working on one station with the Kichwas, he was on another. And his message that morning was that the entire station on which he had been working had been wiped out with flood. So it seemed as though God had taken the other arm and swept off everything that Jim had done. Women's role in evangelism. What in the world has all this got to do with that? We are meant to be God-bearers, bearers of the very life of Christ, wherever God puts us, whatever he wants us to do.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.